Daf Samach Amud Beis, approximately 12 lines down from the top of the Amud. Om Rabbi Yehuda, Om Shmuel, Oshanu El Lechazek, Aval Inoy Mutar. When the Chazal made this takana, and we're not allowed to wear these spiked shoes, these sandals with spikes, nails in them, that's only when the nails were added to as part of the shoe, simply to strengthen. Let's say there's a sole of the shoe, and they attach the sole to the leather, the upper portion of the shoe. So they attach these nails to the upper portion of the shoe, to the sole. They stitch it together, and the nails strengthen the attachment between the upper portion of the shoe and the sole of the shoe. But linoi, there's a certain amount of nails that you knock in and it beautifies. It's like a studded shoe. And the Chazal never prohibited a tachshit, because once this sandal gets the categorization of an ornament, then Adarab, instead of bringing tzar to the people and reminding them of the catastrophe, it would bring simcha to the people. So only when the nails are a part of the structure of the shoe is it considered sandal mesuma, that's awesome. But if it beautifies the shoe, that's not a shoe that was included in this gzera. V'kamalinoi, in other words, you want to categorize this shoe as nails that were attached to the shoe for purpose of tachshit, of beautification, noi. You have to ask yourself how many nails, let's say, if there are X amount of nails in the shoe, so the impression you get is that the nails are therefore for a structural purpose, to strengthen the sandal. At what point do we say that we can see clearly that you've gone beyond that maximum number of nails? There's a maximum number of nails. So if he puts too many nails in, that's already beyond noi. That's what indicates that he needs these extra nails to strengthen the sandal. So we have to have a maximum that fits into the noi category, because once you go beyond that maximum, then it looks like it's lechizuk. It's not lenoi. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, according to one opinion, that's Rabbi Yochanan, chamesh bazeh v'chamesh bazeh. So you can max out at five nails in each sandal. Beyond that, it's already indicative of a lechizuk, which is also, and Rabbi Chanina Amar, you go beyond that, he's more mekel, sheva bezeh, seven in each sandal. Now, so far we're just counting the nails that you put in. Is there any difference as to where on the shoe the nails are placed? That might be indicative of whether it's lechazek or lenoi. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan l'Rav Shemen bar Abba asbara loch. And he's going to answer this question as to where these nails are located. And there are going to be two shitos. First, Rabbi Yochanan is going to explain his own shita, and then he's going to explain Rabbi Chanina's dissenting view. Because his view was five, and Rabbi Chanina was seven. So didi, shtayim mikan, v'shtayim mikan, v'achas besarsiosov. So let's take one sandal. We'll duplicate it for the second sandal. So we take a sandal, and he places on each side of the sandal, the right side and the left side, he places two two nails. And then he places one where the straps are connected to the sole of the shoe. That's number five. And that's how Rabbi Yochanan envisions this sandal that has five nails in it. It's got two, and a fifth. You know, I get the impression that the fifth fifth nail might be, not sure, might be towards the front. No, not necessarily. I take that back. And Rabbi Chanina, he says, Sholosh mikan v'sholosh mikan v'achas v'sarsiyosov. So he's got three on each side and one last nail where the straps are fastened to the sole. And this is the vision of what this sandal looked like. So allow me to read the language of the Be'iri here. Maybe it'll give us a little bit more of an understanding of this sugya, hopefully. And he says the following. Hoylehem sandalim she'ika ha'adboka shalehem lohoysa al yidei masmerim. This is a chiddush here, the Be'iri. That their shoes, the connection here between the shoe itself and the straps were not through the nails. Ela al yidei ritzuos shayuyotzos me'asandol. So again, I'm not exactly sure, but the Meiri envisions the straps that come out of the sandal. V'nichrochos al gabi raglov, and then he ties these straps around his foot. And therefore, hamasmerim shahayubo, these nails that were in the ritzuos, that connected the ritzuos to the shoe, hayucholim lechabers asandal, whatever masmerim that were used in order to connect the ritzuos to the sandal, they only needed one or whatever number of nails. And there he says, Aval im chibru bo yoser masmerim, but if he adds the other masmerim beyond that limited one or two, I don't know how much, he doesn't spell it out, that was there. I'm sorry. What he's saying is, so it sounds to me like he's saying that masmerim fit into three categories with regard to the sandal. The engineering gets quite complex. There's the basic masmer, which is needed, you know, to do the hadbaka of putting together the shoe, so to speak. And then, beyond that, the nails that were added, beyond that very basic necessary minimum, would fit into one of two categories. Either they were nails that could not possibly enhance the hadbaka. Lo, in the language of the Miri, lo yucholim lechaber es hasandol. So then you ask yourself, so what were these nails beyond those original, absolutely critical nails for hadbaka? That was nasu l'noi. However, there's another function of nails, and that is for extra chizuk. In other words, even though the ritzuos, together with that one or two nails, would be enough, but sometimes you need extra chizuk beyond the ritzuos. So maybe the ritzuos would wrap around and put together the sandal, but it was a little bit loose. It wasn't totally reliable. So when you get to a larger number of nails, you begin to think that these nails were there for the sake of chizuk. Again, despite the fact that there were ritzuos, the straps, but there's some element of chizuk, and that's what they wanted. If there were a smaller number of nails, then we would say that was not for chizuk, because we got plenty of ritzuos there, and you have the basic nails, and that's for noi. So the Gemara asks a kasha now on Rabbi Yochanan Meisve. We have a brisa that says the following. Sandal hanota. Now we have a kind of lopsided sandal. And apparently it tilts over towards one side. That's how lopsided it is. Maybe because the sole of this shoe is thicker on one side than it is on the other side, and therefore the lean side sort of sinks a little bit. So now he needs nails in the lean side that will somehow lift up the sandal to be level, so it's flat, you know, it's not drooping, it's not lopsided, and it's not inclined in one direction. Oselo Sheva Divrei Rabbi Nosson. So he makes seven nails in order to flatten out this sandal. That's the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. Now the Gemara thinks that according to Rabbi Nosson, if this lopsided, you know, uneven sole has seven nails, those nails are not for the sake of strengthening the sandal. It's just to straighten out the sandal. And if that be the case, it's a kind of a noy. Again, it's not real noy in the classic sense of beautifying with studded, you know, jewels, but it's noy in the sense that the connection between the sandal and its straps and the sole is already solid, but in terms of the, shall we say, the effectiveness and the comfort that he'll get by wearing the sandal, he needs extra nails. And according to Rabbi Nosson, if he makes seven nails, that takes this sandal out of the category of a normal classic sandal, which was included in the enactment of the Chacham, the prohibition of the Chachamim. Rebbe Mati B'Shloshesre, who will speak in a minute about why all these numbers are in the singular, I mean in the odd, not even numbers, but Rebbe will allow you to add up to 13 nails, and this brisa would seem to support Rabbi Chanina against Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara says the following: Bishleim Rabbi Chanina, who diomar Rabbi Nosson. So Rabbi Chanina, who allowed for seven nails, would seem to be the sheet that's reflected by Rabbi Nosson. The other sheet in this brisa is 13 nails. That's Rabbi, but El Rabbi Yochanan Laman diomar Kiman. He doesn't seem to be in agreement with any of the Tanaim. There's no Tana that could support the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. So Gemara answers, "Hu diomar ki Rabbi Nohorai." There's another brisa with another Tana named but Rabbi Nohorai, who reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan. The Sanya we learned in the brisa, Rabbi Nohorai Omer Chamesh Mutar v'Sheva Asur. So we're only going to allow up to five nails, but not beyond that, not seven. So Rabbi Yochanan's Shita is now supported by a Tana, in this case Rav Noroi, and the reason why they don't talk about an even number, like for example six nails, is because there's always that extra nail that we said was basic, was critical, that holds the straps onto the sandal. And now we want to know, what other nails do you add that can be considered noy? So it's always going to be the odd number, because you're always asking how many nails do you add to that one single nail. Amalei Eifa. So now we have a chacham by the name of Eifa, and he turns to Rabba Barbar Chana, and he says, Aton Talmidi Rabbi Yochanan, Avidik Rabbi Yochanan, Nan Navid Ki Rabbi Chanina. In other words, he wants the paskin like Rabbi Chanina and allow even 7 nails in each sandal, but he points out that Rabba, since you are a Talmud, you and your Chaverma Talmidim of your Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, therefore you are bound to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. And 5 is going to be the limit. Boy minei Rav Huna mei Rav Ashi, Chamesh Mahu. So this is a little bit of a repetition of what we discussed before. And it sounds like Rav Huna is unaware of the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Chanina. So Rav Huna turns to Rav Ashi and he asks him, well, what about 5 nails? Amalu, so Rav Ashi surprised him and said, Afilu Sheva Mutar. And here, Rav Ashi is reflecting the shita we saw earlier of Rabbi Chanina. So Rav Huna asks, can I go even beyond that? Teisha Mai. Amalu Afilu Shmona Asur. 8 is prohibited, and certainly 9. Because again, once you exceed beyond, then it's a gili milsa, so to speak, that you are knocking in extra nails because you don't want to rely on the chibur, the adbaka between the ritzuos and the sole of the shoe. And once again, the number is always going to be odd. When Rav Ashi says Afilu Shmona, he's using that just to expand the amount of nails that you're allowed to put in, and he's saying Afilu Shmona. I'm sorry, just the opposite. That he's telling you, that Afilu Shmona you're allowed, and 9, just 1 second. Shmona, he says, is also. Once you've gone beyond the 7, then it's already indicative of the fact that you're strengthening the ritzuos, the connection of the ritzuos to the sandal itself. Boy minei hahu ratzona. Ratzona is a shoemaker. May Ravi Ami. Tafro mi bifnim mahu. Can I make a change in this kind of sandal and then sell it in a way that's permissible for people, Orthodox Jews, to wear it on Shabbos? And what I'm going to do is, the change I'm going to make is I'm going to sew the shoe on the inside of the sandal. And probably what he means is that he added something inside the shoe. And perhaps we also wear these different kinds of inserts sometimes. So you insert something in the shoe and you sew it onto the shoe. Only mutter, Avami says mutter. But Veloya Dano my time, he must have had a Kabbalah, but he doesn't know the reason for it. Omer Rav Ashi is going to reveal the reason for this. Lo Yoda Mar my time is Kevin the Tfaro mi bifnim havile minal. And the sandal goes with Rabbanan, the minal lo goes with Rabbanan. So the 2 categories, there's something called a sandal and something called a minal. And Chazal only prohibited a sandal because that would remind us of the original catastrophe. So in this case, when you put this soft kind of tongue, so to speak, this extra piece into the shoe, and you sew it down, so the soft leather makes this into a sandal. I'm sorry, what I meant to say is makes it into a middle. It's no longer a sandal. I guess it's a little bit more luxurious than a sandal, and therefore it's not included in the gzera. Boy mine. Rabbi Abba bar Zavdomi, Rabbi Abba bar Avina, Asan Kimin Klavus Mahu, and Amaloi Mutar. So here's another change in the structure of the sandal that takes it out of the original Gezerah. It's no longer similar, it's not Me'ena Ma'ora. and he shapes each nail like tongs, which means, I'll just show you the picture. Oh, I don't know if you could see it in this. He says, Kimin Kalvus. He says it's a keres mechufaf balei shnei chodrim. Shamasmer kafuf kimin chatzi igul. So he says he has like a round nail. Not a nail that goes, you know, once you put it in it's flat, but something that goes in a round shape. That's what I have here in this picture. That's called Kamin Kalvus. And Rav Abba sent his, maybe it's his brother, I'm not sure, to Ravi. No. That can't be. They couldn't be brothers. They happen to have the same first name, not their father's name. Anyway, so he turns to Rabbi Abba Bar Avino and he says to, Rabbi Abba says to Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Mutter, he made enough of a shinui, so it's not Me'ina Ma'or, it's not including the original Gzeir. Itmar Nami, Om Rav Yossi, Rav Chanina, Asan Kimin Kalvus, Mutter. Om Rav Sheshes, Chifo Kulav Masmeros Kadesh Te Karka Ochalto Mutter. Again, a kind of a shinui. He does a what's called a chipa milamata with many masmeros, so the karka should not bother the bottom part of his foot. And what he does here is he covers the entire sole with nails. No, that's not a regular kind of a chizuk for a shoe, to cover the entire sole with nails. And the reason he does it is to make it a little bit more relaxed. I guess separating his foot from the ground. And once again, it's not, since it differs enough from the original sandal of the episode, therefore it's not included in the Isur. Now, we saw before in Rav Sheshes that Chifo Kulo B'masmeros Kidesh Loge is Mutter. The Tanya Kavosi de Rav Sheshes Lo Yetze Ha'ish B'sandal Ha'mesumar V'lo Yetayel Mibayis Lebayis Afilu Mimito Lemito. So we have the Tanakama here that prohibits wearing this sandal on Shabbos, even if he's not outside in the Rishus HaRabim, because we're always afraid that if he gets used to wearing this sandal, he may go out to Rishus HaRabim, or alternatively, because it'll put him in this bad mood if he reminds himself of the calamity that took place. So even to walk from one bed to the other is prohibited, according to this braisa. Aval metalton also lechasis bo sakli. But he's allowed to carry it by hand if he's not wearing it, in order to cover something. Velismoch bo kari amita, or to support the legs of a bed. So in other words, the isa was only levisha, to wear it as clothing, but not to use it in a different kind of a way. That's mut. Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Shimon Oser. Rabbi Elezer Shimon doesn't want you to have any connection with a sandal. And even if you're not wearing it, you might come to wear it. Well, maybe it's enough to remind you of this calamity. And that we don't want to do on Shabbos. Nashru rov masmei rosov. What if the nails have fallen out, most of the nails? V'nishtayer bo arba o chamesh is mutter. Because now it no longer appears to be that sandal of the Me'ina Ma'ura, because it now has a reduced amount of nails to it. So you can make a tikkun here and fix up and be matir this sandal. Rebbe Matir Ad Sheva. Rebbe is going to go a step further and he's going to allow you, even if there are a seven nails left in, as long as Nashu Rov Masmei Rosov. That's interesting. Before, Rebbe spoke about 13 nails. Now all of a sudden, he's on board with Rav Chanina and the number, magic number 7. The Gemara is going to pick this up later. Now, Chipo Bi'or Milamata. So if he made a shinui in which he took a piece of leather, covered the entire sole underneath it, and covered bo masmeros milamala, and now he puts in his nails on the top part of the shoe, mutter, again, this sandal is very different. Now we have another case where the sandal is different, therefore it's not included in the original. He said, "Kovah bo masmeros milamata milamala mutter." So if he covers the entire area, well, actually that's coming up a little bit later in the braisa. Now he's kifo bi'or milamata. He added a piece of R. Now asan kimin clavus. Remember, we had that round sticking out, shape of a nail. O kimin tas. Well, maybe the heads of the nail were shaped like a bar, a flat bar. O kimin yosed, or look like a stake. STAKEKE. In other words, instead of nails shaped with the standard round flat heads, there was a wide bar-shaped head, or a sharp head, like those of stakes, like spears. And again, all these are considered a shini that's mutter. Oh, and here's the punchline for our support of Rav Sheshes, Chipo Kulo B'Masmeros. He covered the entire sole with nails, and the reason for that is so that the ground would not consume him. So Tehei Karko Chloso would not consume this the bottom of his shoe, is mutter. And that supports Rav Sheshes. The Gemara now asks Akasha, Hagufa Kasha, Amrit Noshu Rov Masmerosov. If most of the nails fell out, Afagav the Nishtair Beituva. The implication is it doesn't matter how many are left. So if he started with 30 and he's left with 15, that should also be mutva hadar tani. And then the price says arbo chamesh in. And it's only mutva if you have 4 or 5 nails remaining. Always has to remain less than that magic number that we spoke about. It's tfei lo, but if it's more than 5 nails, you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos, even though rov nishtairu. Most of the nails have fallen off. Amarav Sheshes Lokasha Kan Shin Nigmimu Kan Shin Nekru. When the Bryce implies that even if you have many nails, it's still mutter, that's a case where the nails were worn down. Nigmimu means they were worn down. They're level with the sole. They're mamish flat with the sole. If you put your hand on the sole, you wouldn't even feel the nails in there. But Kan Shin Nekru, when the Bryce says the limited amount of how many nails we're going to permit you to use, it's either 4 or 5, whatever the number is, that's a case where the nails were extracted. They were completely pulled out. In order to be mate, we need a shinui hanikar. In the case of nigmamu, he says nashru rubam. In the case of nigmamu, even if you have many, many nails left, but most of them fell out, is nigmamu, meaning niktas rosham achlo nekru legamre, mishumam nikar. So when you look at the shoe, look at the sandal, you see, you know, the original number of nails, and therefore it's a real radical shinui if more than half of them fell out. So it's no longer meinam ma'ora. But kan, well, we saw that only if 4 or 5 are left, that's nekru. So it's like you started from scratch. Nobody sees and has any clue of what it looked like originally, so there's no shinui here. The Gemara now adds something to explain the Braisa. The Braisa says, arba u'chamesh mutar. So hashta chamesh shori arba mi boy. What does he have to tell you that four is enough, even five is mutter. Amar Rav Chisda, bi arba misandal katan, and chamesh misandal gadol. So once again, we're talking about two types or two sizes of sandalim. There's a gadol and a katan. There's a larger one, and there is the smaller one. And it works like this. If you have a sandal katan, then four nails can remain from the nails of a small sandal. But if you have a sandal gadol, then five may remain. So again, the number of nails that can remain would be proportionate to the number of nails that you started with. A small sandal, which is a tight one, and it could be worn even without straps, and it would have less nails. Why? Because the fifth nail, as we said before, was to fasten the straps, the ladbaka. V'Rebbe Matir Ad Sheva. Now let's go back to the Braisa. And Rebbe says up to seven. So he's going to be matir wearing a sandal, in which case most of its nails had fallen off, even if you have seven nails left, because most fell off. So Gemara asks for Asanya, Rebbe matir ad shloshesre. So why should this sandal be asur if it has more than seven, when Rebbe himself said that you could be matir up to 13? And the Gemara answers, nota shiny. In other words, sometimes we need to add extra nails, and that was the case that Rebbe said, ad shloshesre, that was a sandal nota. It was that lopsided, you know, sandal that leans to one side. And there you may need extra nails in order to even it all out. And this is not to strengthen the sandal, but to make it more comfortable to wear the sandal. And again, it's a shinui, it's not similar to the main ama'ura, the original case. And the Gemara asks, hashta diosis lohachi, maybe we can answer another question that we asked before, once we come to this point. The Rabbi Yochanan Lokasha Nota Shiny. Right, we had a brisa in which the Tanoim permitted seven nails, which was against Rabbi Yochanan, who only allowed five nails. The answer is Nota Shiny. That if the sandal is lopsided and it leans in one direction, then you could add many, many more nails in order to flatten it out, straighten it out. And that's a shinui, and that's not included in the original gzera. And again, we have to emphasize that those extra nails are not lechizuk, but they're only to improve or enhance the experience of wearing the sandal. Now, what about taking this sandal and not wearing it? So we had a machlokes tanoim in the Braisa quoted early on this amud about whether, for example, you're allowed to take this sandal on Shabbos to use it to support the legs of a bed or to cover a kli. Amar Rav Masna, v'amrle Amar Rav Ach Devoy, Bar Masna, Amar Rav Masna, ein halacha ki Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. Now, as we're going to be mekil here, Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon had an absolute all-inclusive isur of using this sandal even if he's not wearing it. And we're going to be mekil. We're going to take the opinion of the Tanakama that a sandal, if you're not wearing it and you move it for whatever reason you're moving it, that's mut. So Gemara says, Pshita, Yochid Rab Malach Rab, we always paskin like the Chachomim, who have the majority against a single dissenter, a Yochid. So for sure, we would paskin like the Chachomim. And Gemara answers, Ma'od, the same in the Stabra time of the Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon Beha. That in this particular machlokas, there's a compelling logic that indicates that Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon is correct. And Kabash Malan, nevertheless, this is not true. We're going to paskin like the Chachamim. In other words, Once you start using a sandal for this or for that, you move it around and you want to cover this, you want to use it for what other purpose did we mention before? You use it to support a bed, whatever it is, you have it already in your hands, you might be tempted to wear it. So that's the compelling logic of Rabbi Elazar, but we're going to paskin like the Chachamim. Om Rab Chia, he loved the Karli Bavloi, the Shari Sure, Sharina Beituva. Rab Chia says, if not for my reputation, so to speak, I would be more makil and be more lenient with regard to a sandal Hamasuma that has many nails in it. I'm afraid that people might say, you know, I'm the Babylonian, the Bavloi, who is Matir Isurim, that permits things that are prohibited. Apparently, you see, by the way, that this whole business about the sandal was was a major issue at the time of Chazal. And exactly how many nails would Rav Chia be makel on? And here we have two versions, Vakama according to Pumpadisa version, and one part above all the version was Amin Esri V'Arba, he would allow even 24 nails in each sandal, and in another area of Bavel in Surah, Amrina, they said only 22 nails. And V'Simonach, Amar Rav Nachma Yitzchak V'Simonach, I want to give you some sort of mnemonic device to remind you of these opinions. Adi Yosef Yipuvdis L'Surah Chasar Tarti. There's a long trip, and on his way he stops in Pupadisa, and then he goes on to Surah, and he loses two nails on the way. The bottom line is here that, as I said before, this was a big deal for the Gemara in the Gemara's time. I mean, all these different details and nuances about when it's mutter to wear the sandal and when not, they all seem so foreign to us, but in that particular sociology, it was very, very important. In fact, Iran writes that sandalship is manazem mutter lotzespo. Afim yeshpo masmerim. You could wear a sandal that has nails in it. Lefisha eno ke'en osa shoy bizmanom. And Lonesa sandal and Mesubel Kein also sandal Shayubel also as man. Okay, so there's a lot of room for cool. There's a very interesting Yerushalmi here that brings many shitos about the number of masmerim that they would allow back at the time of the Talmud, and each number is a magic number. Chamisha is kachamisha chumshei Torah. Sounds like Echad Miyodea, right? Shiva Keneged Shiva Yimei Shabbos. And in each one of these cases, the Yerushalmi finds a pasuk that connects. Like, for example, it says in Dvarim, Barzel v'nechoshes min olecha kiyomecha adavach, and Tisha Keneged Tisha Yarchei Leida, Esim v'yama Keneged Mishmaros HaKuhuna. And they have a pasuk of Koheles. It says, "Divrei chacham kidarbenos ukemashmeros netuim." Mashmeros is the mishmaros of Kuhuna, the Esrim V'Arba mishmaros, and the masmerim were also 24. Esrim V'Arba mishmaros shem keneged Esrim V'Arba sifrei hakodesh. Again, it goes on and on. Very strange that they chose these nails. And the numbers of nails that were mutter based on different symbolic representations. Now, we're about to start a little bit of a different sugya, and that is, again, talking about a sandal on Yitzias HaShabbos. What if he wears the sandal only on one foot? And let's say he has a maka on one foot. And the Gemara is now going to get into a whole different analysis of the Seder of when you should put on which foot, your right foot, your left foot, which one you should tie first. So the Mishnah says, V'lo b'yochid, he shouldn't wear the sandal on one foot. Bizman shein baraglo mak, if he doesn't have some sort of an injury on one foot. Here we turn to Samach Aleph on an Aleph. And the Gemara is Medayik, that ha yesh baraglo mak nofik.
that if he has a mark on one of his feet, his right foot or his left foot, he's allowed to wear a sandal and go out there with one sandal. But hayminay nafik. In other words, we thought intuitively that for sure he's going to wear the sandal on that foot that he has an injury on, and that's going to be the final maskana. But the Gemara vacillates about this because it could be that the dafka, the other sandal, which doesn't have a wound, is the one that's going to take the shoe. Amar Rav Huna bi'osa sheyesh ba maka. He puts on his sandal on that foot, which got a mak, alma, because kasover sandal l'shum tsar of it. And he wants to prevent himself from tsar. He's protecting himself, l'hagen, that he might not step on, so he shouldn't step on stones and thorns on his way, and he'll experience tsar. And therefore, if you see this person that he's limping, and everybody knows, therefore, he must have a makkah, and he's only wearing one sandal, we can understand that the reason why he's not wearing a sandal on the healthy one is mipnei she'or kofus raglov of v'kosha v'ena mitztayr be'avonim shebedrochim. So he says the following, that the or, the leather, is kofus raglov ova, that the leather on this shoe that he owns is very thick and very hard, what it means is that the bottom of his foot, let's talk about the heel of his foot, is very tough. Very hard. And you could see people who have very hard heels, you know, and they're not bothered by avonim v'drachim. But his other foot needs extra protection because it's injured. And no one's gonna think of him badly, you know, and interpret that he's carrying his other shoe. But v'chia barav omar bi'osa shein b'mak. He's dafka wearing the shoe on his healthy foot. Alma kasovar l'shum tainug ovid. That this sandal is for a sensitive person who wants to, you know, he wants to enjoy the softness, perhaps, that's given to him by the sandal. But zushi yesh la maka, so he'll wear it on the healthy foot because that's going to give him that pleasure of wearing a sandal. But the other shoe, makosa mochachas aleh, makosa mochachas aleh means that it's definitely indicative of the fact that he, right, so again, he's wearing the shoe on his healthy foot. And there's no shoe on his injured foot because he's got a tough time putting a shoe on his injured foot. And in this case, there's not going to be a chashad. No one will say that he's carrying the other shoe under his arm or in his begadim, and he's violating the Hilchos Shabbos. So there's no chashada here. And the reason for that is because they understand that he's got one shoe that doesn't enjoy the benefit of this, the tanug of wearing a sandal. It's a very sensitive shoe foot because of his makkah, and he can't put the shoe on. But you know, on the other foot, he has the luxury of putting the shoe on and enjoying the tainug of that sandal. The Afra B'Yochanan Savrala Laha de Rav Huna. So B'Yochanan, we're going to prove, accepts the sheet of Rav Huna that he's dafka going to wear the shoe on his injured foot, not for the sake of tainug, but in order to prevent him from tsar, because his foot is very sensitive, he might step on thorns, etc. The Amar Leih Rav Yochanan L'Rav Shemen Bar Abba Havli Misanai, give me my shoes, and Yoiv Leih Diyamin. So Rav Shemen gave him the right shoe. Amar Leih Rav Yochanan said Asiso Maka. In other words, Rav Yochanan held that the reason why you put on a shoe is in order to protect your foot if it's sensitive because it was wounded. And it would also seem that Rav Yochanan wanted to put on his other shoe first. So by giving him the right shoe, you made it as if I have a makkah. If I have a makkah, I'm going to put my shoe on the right foot. It gets a special status. But other than that, I should be taking first and foremost the shoe on the left foot. And the Gemara later on is going to explain that has to do with tefillin. That just like in tefillin, we put it on the left hand for most people. Omalo, Rav Shemon Bar Abba, if I will tie now the right shoe, then I won't be able to tie the left shoe afterwards, but rather I will wear one shoe. And therefore Nimtzeis Shasisas Shal Yamin Kilu Haisaba Maka, and that's why I'm putting on one shoe. So Rashi adds this element into the equation that Rav Yochanan was saying to Rav Shemin that once I put on my right shoe, I won't be able to put on my left shoe, because since there's a kadima to the left shoe, and he can no longer achieve that kadima, he's got his right shoe, he's going to only wear one shoe. He's not going to put on the left shoe afterwards, because that'd be, so to speak, an insult to the left shoe. So he doesn't want to look as if he violated the din of kadima, that the left shoe has to come first. So he's going to just simply leave out the left shoe and let everybody think that he has a makkah on his right foot. So we see from this that Rabbi Yochanan held that you wear the shoe on your injured foot, right? The LCH slash makkah, like Rav Huna. And Gemara says, "Nay, Dilma." Maybe he holds that he should wear the shoe on the foot that doesn't have a makkah, as we said before, for tainug. And this is what Rabbi Yochanan meant to tell Rav Shamon. If I put on now the right shoe, then I'm going to go out with only one shusha sisa shall small maka. Right, he says to him, asisa maka, maybe means you're making it seem that the left foot has a maka. And I was only wearing shoes for the sake of tainug, and therefore I could only wear it on my right foot. V'yazda Rabbi Yochanan l'tamei. Now let's get back to the whole din of kedima. That Rabbi Yochanan told him that now that I put on my right foot, I have to put on my right shoe. I have to put on my right shoe and leave out my left shoe, because that would violate the din of kedima. And the kedima goes according to Rabbi Yochanan to the left. The Yom Rabbi Yochanan kitfilin kach min olim. That the way we put on a shoe should remind us of tefillin. That just like ma tefillin biyad smol, af min olim beregel smol. So tefillin, which of the tefillin between the shel yad and shel rosh do we begin first? We begin with the left, and we put it on our left arm. And that's based on the pasuk vayelos al yodecha yad keha. That tefillin should be on the weaker arm. And the Torah is giving a chashivas to the small. So to an ilas min olim, we should give chashivas to the small and give it kedima. And Tosus points out that when you put on your shoe, and in this case, according to Rabbi Yochanan, put on your left shoe first, then you should remind yourself of your tefillin. So it's not just a simon li'alma, but the tam that you should be no tchilas small is that just like in tefillin, you remind yourself of the tefillin, that small is chashuv. Or maybe we could say even better than that, that since in tefillin the Torah gives chashivus to small, therefore you should now give chashivus to small when you tie your shoe. I'm a little bit upset about that, because there are many different cases where we have a question of right and left. Are we always going to give more chashivus to the left based on tefillin? It would seem rather that there's a closer relationship here between tefillin and min'olim. They're both involved with wearing straps. In fact, the Gemara says, "Chulin b'schar shomer Avram l'malki tzedek." Shemichut v'atzroch nal, I don't want to take anything from you. Zochu banav l'shtei mitzvos chut shel tcheles v'ritzuo shel tefillin. V'kevan sheyisroel zochu l'mitzvos tefillin al yidei sh'omar Avram sroch nal. Right? Which kind of strap was Avram referring to? For which his descendants were rewarded with tefillin, the straps of tefillin. It was the sroch nal, the Torah says. So therefore there's an inyan, something to connect tefillin and to tie the nal shel smol first, just like we tie the tefillin shel smol first. Meisvei, the Gemara asks a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan from a Brisa. And the Brisa says, Kshu Noel, Noel shel yamin v'achkach Noel shel smol. So that Rabbi Yochanan is against the Brisa. The Brisa indicates clearly that you put on your right foot first. In the classic comparison between right and left, right always gets kedima. And here too, it gets kedima when you put on your shoes. And it seems that Rabbi Yochanan was willing to argue against this Brisa. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Now, what do we do, Lamaisa? Can we find some sort of a compromise sheet? Hashta de Tanya Hachi, Vam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, we have these two views. Is therefore the Ovid Hachi Avad, U David Hachi Avad. So Rabbi Yosef is not offering some sort of as we said before, a compromise in which we can do both and satisfy both requirements, but rather you take your choice. You want to go with Rabbi Yochanan, so then you'll be makdim the small first. And Rabbi Yochanan never rejected the possibility of putting the right foot, or that has a universal chashivus. And Rabbi Yochanan would not object to that. If on the other hand, the Ovid Hachi, you want to follow Rabbi Yochanan and give a chavivus to the small first, then you're allowed to do so. And you're following in good footsteps here with Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye turns to Rabbi Yochanan and says, Dilma, Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe there is an absolute head-on collision here. Amasdisa lo shamalei. Maybe it's possible Rabbi Yochanan never heard of this Brisa, and he was offering a different shita, diametrically opposed to the Brisa. V'yavi Shmuley, had he heard the Brisa, maybe Avi Hoderbe, we should bask in like the Brisa, we should assume that Rabbi Yochanan would have subjugated himself to the Brisa. V'inami Shmuley, kos sovar shein halacha kosa mishnah. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan knew about the Brisa, but he argued with the Brisa, and therefore maybe we should be knowing like Rabbi Yochanan. And we should give preference and priority to the left side. We're left with a suffix here, we don't know. But to say that we could do both, that's a little bit odd. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, and here we come up with the Pshara, and how we can satisfy both opinions. Yirei Shamayim, Yotze Yidei Shteyev. And there was such a person who fit this category, and he told us how to fulfill both shitos, Umanu, and who was that? It was none other than Mar Berei de Ravina. Hechi Ovid, so what did he do? Sayem diamine velokata. He would put on his right foot and fulfill the requirement of the Brisa by giving kedima to the right foot. But he hadn't yet tied the ritzuos. We would call it the he hasn't tied down his shoe. The laces of his shoe. But siyem de smol v'kotar. After he put on his right shoe, on his right foot, he would put on his left foot, and then he would tie his left foot first, and that gives kedima and chashivas to the left foot. V'hadar kotar yamin, and then afterwards he would tie the laces on his right shoe. And he fulfilled the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan as well. I just want to add two comments here. You know, we think of Rabbi Chaim Brisker as being the Mechadesh that, you know, he came up with so many brilliant ideas of how to be Yotzi with all Shitas. You know, you talk about different Shitas and what Shvarim are in Rosh Hashanah's Tekiyas and how to blow these Tekiyas. He would come up with a Pshar that would fulfill all the Shitas of the Rishonim. And there are many, many such examples where Rabbi Chaim would brilliantly come up with. And now we find the source. The source here is right here on Daf Samach Aleph in Masechet Shabbos, with regard to how to put your shoes on, how to tie your shoes. Second thing I wanted to point out is that there are deeper meanings here, which we don't have time to go through, about these kinds of kshiros, and which should come first, and which shoe should go first, and which is more chashiv, the left or the right. There are deeper meanings, but there's a famous story, I don't know if it's true or not, a legend they tell in modern times about a fellow that was brought up in a religious Orthodox background, upbringing, education, but during his teenage years, unfortunately, he went off the derech, and it got to the point where he fell in love with a non-Jewish girl, and he was about to marry her. And they say that everything was ready, the whole, all everything was prepared, and he was putting on his tux. And after he got his tux on in the wardrobe room there, you know, in the changing room, the chassan now puts on his shoes, and he looks at his shoes, and he realizes that he has to put his right shoe first, and then his left shoe. And he starts remembering the Torah that he learned as a youth. And again, as this legend goes, he flew out of there. They never had the wedding. They didn't even know where he went. He just flew the coop. And he realized, I shouldn't be marrying this non-Jewish woman. Amar Rav Ashi Chazino L'Rav Kahana De lo kapid. I saw Rav Kahana wasn't makpid. Sometimes he put on his right foot, right shoe first, sometimes his left shoe first. He didn't make a big deal about it. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Vraisa, Kshu Noel, Noel shall yamin, V'akach Noel shall smol. So there is a kedima when he puts on his shoe, as we saw in the Vraisa earlier, to put on his right shoe first. Ukshu choletz, and when he takes off his shoes, choletz shel smol v'yakach choletz shel yamin. So this is also a covered to his right foot, because he doesn't take off his right shoe first. He takes off his left shoe first. And now this kedima for the right, the covered for the right, now expresses itself in the tilas yadayim. Shu rochets, when he washes his hands, rochets shel yamin tchila v'akach rochets shel smol. And the same thing is in terms of anointing. Shu sach, he's putting oil on his body. Sach shel yamin, he starts with the right, whether it's his hand, his arm, or any other part of the body. V'akach tzad shel smol, he goes to the left side. Rotsa losa kol gufo. Now it's not an issue of right versus left, but it's up and down, it's vertical. Is sach rosho tchila, he should start with his head and then get to the rest of his body. Mipneshu melech al kol evarav. The head is the king over all the parts of the body. The head, the brain, will control the entire body. We have to give chashivus to and covet to the brain, and therefore you should start with the brain. Somebody was joking with me that you should dive into a pool rather than walk into a pool. And we should learn here that there's a din of kedima of Yad Yamin and Netilas Yadayim. And even in the case of Rechitza in general and Sicha in general, a kedima to the right side. The Beis Yosef, by the way, has a different psak la'aloch about chalitza, and he says what the Gemara means to say is that he's allowed to take off his left shoe first if he so chooses, muta lachlotza tchila. But the Gemara is not saying that you have to take off the left shoe first as a cover to the right shoe. That's not a halachic requirement. The Mishnah says, lo yetze betfilin im yotzei nechayv chatos, that on a deraisa level he's not chayv for wearing his tefillin, but min rabbanan it's us. Omer of safra lo tema aliva demandi omer shabbos lav zman tefillinu elafil demandi omer shabbos zman tefillinu lo yetze dilma osi li suye brishus harab. So according to the Mandi Omer, who says Shabbos man tefillin hu, machlokus and mesechta menachas, you might think that you're allowed to wear tefillin in Rishus HaRabim for the sake, or since it's not a masu, it's a malbush, and it's a mitzvah. Even on Shabbos, it's a mitzvah. Now, the Gemara discusses this question of whether tefillin is a malbush on Shabbos or not, extensively in Masechta Erev and Adaf Tzadi Hamid Beis. The Gemara there quotes a machlokas tanoim, where the mitzvah of tefillin is no heges b'Shabbos or lo. And even if you hold it's eder no heges b'Shabbos, the Gemara in the sugya there in Erev quotes two opinions as to why it's not no heges b'Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi Aglil derives it from a pasuk u'shmarta esachukah zos lemoado miyomim yomima, and it says miyomim velo kol yomim prat l'shabbosos v'yom tov re'akiv. On the other hand, says va'ilachol li'os al yodecha, and the mitzvah is only on days that have no os, but a day like Shabbos Yontif that is endowed with the status of an os on its own, intrinsically, you don't put on tefillin, because tefillin is an os. And it's very interesting that the Magen Avraham, there are others who say that according to Rav Yossi Aglili, there's an iser to wear tefillin on Shabbos. Because it says, v'shamarta esachukah zos, etc. And shamarta, shmir, is always a lashon lav. But according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no iser to wear tefillin on Shabbos, there's no mitzvah, because you already have your os, insofar as Shabbos is an os. Now, if you assume that Shabbos lav zman tefillin means that there's an iser to go out in Shabbos, then wearing tefillin on Shabbos, according to that man d'yomar, would be masui. So therefore, when Rav Safra says, lo tema aliva d'man d'yomar, Shabbos lav zman tefillin hu, it might mean that if Shabbos is lav zman tefillin, it's not a malbush if you wear tefillin, it's an isur, and therefore it's a masui, and you might be in violation of a malocha d'oraisa, even though you're wearing tefillin. But then the man d'yomer is Shabbos zman tefillin hu, and it's a malbush, it's not a masui, so on a d'oraisa level for sure, you could wear tefillin or it's just a rabbim on Shabbos without violating otzah, but nevertheless lo yetze, because we're afraid that maybe he'll take off his tefillin in order to use the washroom, and then he might carry his tefillin arba amas b'shus harabim. He could demasli ha-seifa. There are those who have the words of Rav Safra on the seifa of the Mishnah. It says, im yotza, if he went out with tefillin in reshus harabim, enu chayv chata, som Rav Safra lo tema, aliv d'man d'yom ha-shabbos man tefillinu, el afilu man d'yom ha-shabbos lav zman tefillinu, Eino chayv chatos. My taima derech malbush avida. And that means that Rav Safra holds that when he has tefillin on his head and wrapped around his arm, that's called derech malbush, because that's the way he wears it during chol. And therefore, even though he's wearing it on Shabbos and it's not a mitzvah because we're holding Shabbos lav zman tefillin, it's not considered a masui, it's considered a malbush. So on a d'oraisa level, Rav Safra wants to say he hasn't violated the Iser Otzah by carrying a masui, but rather it's considered a malbush. The Ritva has a slightly different perspective on this sugi. He wants to say that Laman de Yomer Shabbos loves man tefillin who. Rav Safra is not telling us it's a malbush, but rather it's shelo kiderech chotza. In other words, when you wear something on your head or on your arm, that's ein derech chotza bekach, and therefore there's no violation of an iser d'oraisa. So this might touch on the whole question of something that you're not supposed to put on, and is that mafkir the shame malbush because you're not allowed to wear it? I mean, this has to do with the question on Yom Kippur of wearing shoes. If somebody wore shoes on Yom Kippur and he went out to Rishus HaRabim, would he be chayef otzah because he's not allowed to wear shoes? And there's a gigantic sugya in Erevin that has to do with wearing two zugos of tefillin. Because if you hold Shabbos Zman Tefillin, now he might be violating the Isur Bal Tosif by wearing two pairs of Tefillin, and it could be the Isur Bal Tosif now generates a Shem Masui, Mafkia, the Shem Levush. However, if we go back to Rabbi Akiva that we mentioned earlier, who holds that there's no Isur to wear Tefillin on Shabbos, just that there's no Mitzvah, then you're going to have to say that the reason why you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos in a Rishus HaRabim is midrabbanan, because we're afraid he might carry it in his hands. So we're going to stop here on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. Let you see where we got up to. We're up to the two dots of Velo Bikamia, which is approximately 10 lines up from the bottom of Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. This brings us to a gigantic sugya about Kamiya, and we're going to try to do the best we can with that sugya, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow, Bli Nedar.